How did the class come about?
Actually, I've been dancing since I was a child, and I do a whole bunch of different things like classical and like Indian classical dance and experimental modern dance and things. And I actually was living overseas for 10 years, and I moved back to Melbourne in 2017. And in a way, I was restarting from scratch. And my friend Jaya had just started the Bollywood dance studio. Someone really far away was looking for a Bollywood dancer for a group of women in the 70s. And I was the only person willing to go because I was desperate for money. And I was like, I'll do anything right now because I'm restarting. So I was like, yep. So that's when I first started working with this age group. And I remember already being just surprised and taken aback and loved it. And then Jaya thought, why don't we start a class at the studio? So we were like, yeah, great. So we advertised, and we had one person sign up who was Helen, and she had actually already been doing the Bollywood hip hop beginner class, but been really struggling. And she was hoping that there might be something specific for seniors. So we thought, okay, we'll do this class. But there was only Helen, and the class was supposed to start tomorrow. And we thought, oh, we're going to have to cancel it because no one signed up. And the night before, a second person, a random person signed up. So we had two people. So we were like, okay, great, we'll go ahead. That's how it started. And then, for a long time, it was two people. And then for a long time, it was four. It's taken a lot of love and nurture to kind of grow into what it is. Yeah.
And one of the things about Bollywood dancing and the older age group is that it mixes really well because dancing is really good for keeping the mind active, not just the body. And there's lots of series of actions that have to follow each other and people have to remember them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the seniors, Billy, she talks about it a lot, that it's said that, well, dance is meant to be one of the best things for older people because it makes you socialize. Like, socialization is a part of it, and the coordination and the memory. The students do often talk about what it is about Bollywood because, it just allows you to actually also just have a bit of fun. Like, you don't have to take yourself too seriously. Because some of them did try, for example, ballroom dancing, and they just found it too technical, and there was too much emphasis on right and wrong. So there is this beautiful thing about, yeah, Bollywood's fun. It kind of allows you to access your inner child. Yeah.
And also, as your film shows, there's a fabulous, effortless intercultural element to it, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I think, I mean, again, we've had these, because we've been together now for almost 4 years, some of us 5 years. So we have these conversations a lot. And this thing about also like attracts like, because I think you'd have to also be a certain type of person to even come to a Bollywood class, a senior Bollywood class, there's already an open mind or a curiosity that they kind of bring with them. That allows for this effortless exchange.
Now, let's get to the film itself, because I mean, the film itself is nicely put together. Like, it's 15 minutes long, and you've obviously thought very carefully about the themes that you want to bring across, but also the movement within the film, because it moves along really well. Can you tell me about your filmmaking experience?
So this is my first short film, and I actually began filming them in the beginning of 2020 on my phone, because I've been wanting to make a film for a long time, but I just didn't know how, like the technical aspect always kind of got in the way. And I suddenly, with the phones these days, I'm like, oh, I can do it on my phone. And I felt compelled to make a film. Like, I just feel like somebody needs to make a film on this class, because I can't put my finger on it, but I just felt like, it's surprising. There's some sort of magic happening here. And so I'm like, great. I picked up my phone, and then COVID came into it in 2020. But a few of them live in my 5 kilometer range, and then also Zoom interviews. And I kind of filmed them for 2 years. And then last year, at some point, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do something. I'm just gonna get kind of like move on. I'm gonna just make, because I always thought I would make a full length film, but I was like, I'm just gonna do something, like get started. So I kind of think about those 2 years as research because I interviewed them multiple times. I had an idea. Every time I would interview them, they would say similar things, and I would be like, oh, there's always that thing that speaks at me, that particular thing that stands out. Or when we film the dances, this happens, and I really want to capture this moment because I love it when this happens. So I could have had 2 years worth of information that I kind of put out on paper and then kind of in a way recreated that. So we had a 2-day shoot and it was scripted, but obviously in that organic things also happen. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting because I know that you used some of the elements for your TikTok or your Instagram where people or Facebook, I don't know where you put it on, social media, and you got responses. And that's where the title comes from, more than just cute. But what's interesting to me is that, like you said, you this is your first film, but you've actually made a very tidy film. Some people make films and they're not very good, but this is actually is really quite accomplished because you move from one sequence to another. Tell me about what you learned about the film tech, filming itself. I mean, one of the things that you learn when you're, say, filming at a demonstration or something like that is that people don't film long enough. They don't get all for the edit. Do you know what I mean? And you did most of the editing as well. So you learned quite a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, and I didn't intend to edit it myself, but I'm so glad I did because it really taught me so much. So one of the things was because I was trying to recreate moments that have happened. So I realized in the edit that, like for example, Umesh, the Indian man in the class, I remember the first. So with social media, what happens is because this is a class that runs at the dance studio. And what happens at the dance studio for all the classes, also the ones for the younger generation, every term we film, like we make a dance video for the dance they learned that term. And that gets posted on Instagram and Facebook. So one of their videos, it is one that went viral. So when for one of these shoots, the first time Umesh walked in wearing a wig. Yeah, and I remember me and Jaya, we just screamed, and Umesh was really funny. And the whole moment was so hilarious. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have that moment. So we tried that. We tried him walking in with the wig and we're screaming and all of this stuff. But in the edit, I was like, oh, it looks staged, it looks fake because it is. And I realized that there's some moments you can redo, but sometimes just the simple stuff looks better. Like those really organic, true moments look much better than. So there's something to just can't redo. You've got to let go, and you've got to be open to the truth of this moment. So I learned that a lot in editing because I actually had a lot of footage, and there was a lot of stuff I was like, oh, this just doesn't work. But this really quiet moment that I wasn't expecting, that's actually so beautiful. So that was one of my biggest learnings, actually, making this documentary.
So you wrote a script. How much of the script came out in the edit?
A lot of it, I think my script probably was more than 15 minutes. Now that I realize, I didn't realize actually, oh, it's 15 minutes already. But the couch scene, for example, I did have lines. I wanted there to be this conversation, but when you interview people, like there's so much that's said, but it's so hard to cut. So I was like, and I've interviewed every single person at least 3 times over the past few years. So I was like, I just want you to say that line because I love how that line, I love how when you say that line and when this person said them, like the two go so well together. So I would say almost all of it was scripted, but there was a lot of other stuff that was also in there which got taken out.
Well, it's really quite successful, and I now want to know. And it's great. It's at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and it's part of the shorts program on. It's the 30th of July, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do next? Because you must have the film bug by now, hey?
Yeah. So I have actually bought a camera, and so I'm making a longer version, but similar to this film, but it's different. But it's about the older woman. It's kind of like, I haven't come up with a title, but it might be, for example, something like I Am Crone or Crone Dreaming. I have two main characters and who I'm following. And one of them is from my class, and the rest of the women in the class, they are also, the ensemble is also part of the film, but one of them is my main character, and then there's another person who's not in the class is my other main character, who actually is a professional music cabaret artist, and unpacking, age and ageism, and I love about the seniors in my class, and they inspire me so much. It's just this, the whole illusion of age. And so I want to make a film that unpacks these serious topics, but the film itself, I imagine, I'm hoping it's going to be really like a power-packed, joyous, like a really uplifting, fun kind of film.
Is it a feature or is it a documentary?
It's a documentary, but like a full length.
Yeah. So you've got a new challenge because, of course, you now understand time, which is a whole other element when it comes to filmmaking. Very interesting. As to happiness, that is a big theme in your present film, happiness.
It is actually. And I think friendship, for me, the biggest theme in the film actually is friendship, because there's so many layers of friendship. Like there's me and my friend Jaya. We've been friends for like 25 years. Then the seniors among themselves, because there's something they say often, that I can't believe I found you, like they found each other in their 70s. And then my friendship with them. So friendship, and I guess the happiness that gives us,
So it's intergenerational and it's intercultural and it's fun as well.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah.